I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zenikas?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Gary?
Here.
Mr. Mead?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to Section B, Approval of the Meeting Agenda.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the meeting agenda for this regular meeting of the Madison Plains Local School District Board of Education for Tuesday, December 17, 2024, be approved as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zenikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section C, Student Recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President, and would like to start the student recognition portion of the meeting off this evening by recognizing our Rotary Student of the Month. And so if I could I have Ashley Hawkins please come up to the podium? The London Rotary Club is pleased to present, is pleased to honor senior student Ashley Hawkins as a Student of the Month from Madison Plains High School for the month of December. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Ashley has a 4.08 grade point average and she is currently ranked fourth in her class. Her favorite course is statistics. While in high school, Ashley has been on the volleyball team for 4 years, earning all-league honorable mention honors twice, and she served as a captain during her junior year. She has also participated in powerlifting for 3 years and was part of two MPHS girls team state championships. Ashley has also been on student council for 4 years, serving as senior class treasurer this year. She has been involved in FFA for 4 years, serving as student advisor. Finally, Ashley has been a 3-year member of the MPHS chapter of National Honor Society, serving as vice president. When asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, Ashley picked Madison Plains math teacher, Mr. Sunday. Regarding Mr. Sunday, Ashley said, "His teaching style and humor has helped me develop a passion for math and always leaves me looking forward to class each day." Regarding Ashley, Mr. Sunday said, "Ashley is a conscientious student who is focused on understanding more than just getting to the, Ashley is a very conscientious student who is focused on understanding more than just getting to the answer. She has no problems asking questions to get clarification and takes the time to learn from any mistakes she makes. She brings a positive attitude to class and can have fun while being on task and focused. It has truly been a pleasure to have her in class for these past 3 years. After graduation, Ashley plans to attend college to get her bachelor's degree in science and nursing and become a registered nurse. Ashley is the daughter of Billy and Marcy Hawkins." And Ashley, we do have a certificate for you, but would like to just say congratulations to you. You've built an outstanding record of accomplishment in your 4 years here at MPHS. We're very proud of you. Keep up the great work, okay?
Good job.
Mr. President, a couple of other honors just would like to mention here this evening. We had two of our young men make all Ohio or all state in football. Mr. Colby Stoughton was third team all Ohio for varsity football. And then and unfortunately Colby is not able to join us this evening. He is part of the away or part of the basketball team and they have an away game this evening. So but also I wanted to give a shout out to Logan Bush, who was also honorable mention All Ohio for football. And Logan is here. So Logan, we want to say congratulations. We have a certificate for you. Congratulations, well done.
Thank you.
That is all I have for student achievement this evening. Unfortunately, I do not have staff recognition this evening.
All right. All right, well, we appreciate the guests coming. You're welcome to stay. You're also free to leave at this time if you'd like. All right, so we'll move to Section E, the first public communication section. I don't believe anyone signed up. All right, so we'll move to Section F, board work session.
Different items this evening under board work session. The first of which is the board is required to appoint a president pro tem for the organizational meeting in January of 2025. That president pro tem serves just until the board selects its president for the coming year. So I believe, Mr. President, if you would like, we can entertain motions for whoever would like to serve in that capacity.
All right. I nominate Tula.
Are there any other nominations? If there are no other nominations, we don't need a vote.
Okay.
That concludes that.
And then the other item of business, Mr. President, board work session this evening. At our last meeting, we had talked about us setting up a community engagement meeting. I have some dates that I had sent to the board that would, I believe, work for the community center. If the board has had an opportunity to check their calendars, if we'd like to select one this evening, wonderful.
I'm available on the 21st and 28th. I believe those are both Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm. That's January, right?
Yes. Yeah, that would be January 21st and January 28th. And those are both Tuesday evenings.
I have a conflict on the 28th, but I'm open on the 21st.
May 21st.
I'm available the 21st.
Yep, that works for me.
All right. Then we will plan for a special board meeting as things stand at the Mount Sterling Community Center on Tuesday, January 21st. And I think we should plan for 7 o'clock in the evening.
How are we going to promote the meeting?
Well, we'll promote it through the various means that we typically do, but I know you had mentioned at the last meeting about maybe sending a postcard out. If you would like us to do that, we can do that.
Is that fine with you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it costs some money, but we want to get the word out and get as much participation as possible.
I have something marked for a board work session for just a minute, if it's appropriate.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Something's been kind of weighing on my heart a little bit is just about how we engage with our community and the kids in this district. So in talks with other districts and some of the board members on those districts, talks with the OSBA, there are two things that I've noticed some other districts are doing. Some are neighboring districts, some are other places around Ohio. Is one of those is there's this rising trend of students being invited to meetings like this, and this was actually talked about at the OSBA, and basically students being able to engage with this group in board meetings and be able to, talk about how the school is doing. Maybe they want to let you know how prom went. Maybe they have certain things that, these are normally kids coming from maybe student council or being appointed through that. Anyways, that was one thing that I had picked up on recently. Another one is we actually have a neighboring district who recently started, before every board meeting, two board members are made available for 30 minutes prior to the board meeting starting. And it's for any member of the public to just come in and engage. A couple board members, obviously it's not a quorum because there's two or less, but some of the feedback that I've got over the past 6 or so months is that a lot of people don't like coming in here and standing up here on Facebook Live at a podium talking to the board, but they have things that are on their mind, on their heart, they want to talk about. And the feedback that I've got from the neighboring district that started this recently is that it's been very positive. So not asking anyone to do anything tonight. I was planning on getting a little more information, but would certainly like to, I guess, for the board to just be thinking about those two items, because I think, as I think about more than just buildings, thinking about operating levies that will need to happen at some point in the future, just what we're doing to actively engage our community and our students, and not just when we need to pass something, but all the time. So those are two things that recently that have kind of that have interested me and that I want to look into, and I just want to let everybody know that I'm looking into that and plan to maybe ask for some support with that in the near future.
That's good.
Sounds good. Thank you. Anything else for board work session? All right. So we'll move to section G, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the regular meeting on November 19, 2024 and the special meeting on December 9th, 2024 be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikin?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section H, department reports.
Thank you, Mr. President. And joining us this evening for the department report are the administrators from our K-6 building, Mr. Miller and Mrs. Adamczak. I would like to thank both of them for taking the time here this evening to attend the meeting and to present. We certainly do appreciate it. Thank you.
Good evening.
Evening.
Myself and Mrs. Adamczak would like to share a few things that our K-6 building has done since the beginning of the year. I'm going to talk about a few programs that we began this year in the building. The first program I want to talk about is called a WIN block that we incorporated within the K-6 building. It stands for What I Need. Last year, what we did toward the end of the year, our BLT came together and we were coming up with ways that we could intervene with kids, how we can fill in those gaps that those kids have. I know the 712, they have a, what they call, I'm not sure quite the name, but they have an intervention period that they use up here at the high school. So we wanted to come up with something as well. So we came up with the WIN block. And what we came up with is each grade level has 30 minutes of time blocked off each day to work with students on tier 2 and tier 3 interventions. This gives the teachers an opportunity to work in small groups with kids, to fill in those gaps that they may have, and each teacher also has an aide with them every day during that time, so that they can also let the aides know what they can work on with small groups as well in the hallway and the classroom. So there's a lot of intervening going on during this time. Another reason why we also did it was because we were having issues with students being pulled out during our tier one instruction. So some of the kids were missing the tier one instruction, which is grade level standards. So with this being put into place, it allows our intervention specialists, our speech teacher, our gifted teacher, all these other programs that are pulling the kids out of the tier one instruction to be pulled out during that time as much as possible. So it's not an end-all, be-all, fix-all, but it does eliminate a lot of the pull-out time during the tier one instruction. It's kind of a work in progress this year. The teachers seem to like it. They're intervening with those kids with the standards that they may be struggling with or the concepts they may be struggling with in the class. They're able to work on some fluency facts, whether it be for math or reading. The aides are able to pull kids and help as well in the hallway. So it's been very positive. It's been very productive this year, but we are tweaking it along the way as we go along. So we're very happy with what we're doing right now, and we tend to, like I said, tweak it as we go along. So that's one of the programs that we have. Another program, Mrs. Adams, Zach and I, we're trying to figure out ways that we could eliminate some of the discipline issues that we have and some of the attendance issues we have in the K-6 building. We came up with a Soaring Eagles program. It's a PBIS initiative that we came up with for our K-6 building. It is based off of, like I said, discipline, and it's based off of attendance. Mrs. Adams, Zach, and I went to each lunch period at the beginning of the second 9 weeks, before the second 9 weeks started, to get the hype in the building. We talked to the kids, explained to them what we were looking at doing. It was going to last for the whole second 9 weeks. We gave them the parameters. If they met the initiative, we were going to have a reward at the end of the second 9 weeks. And the reward that we are looking at doing is we're going to take the kids who have earned that reward to the London Theater to watch a movie. So the guidelines for it, for the attendance piece, because that's a piece, as you, as Ms. Grigsby or Ms. Kreitz talked about in the report card, attendance is an issue for us. So we're trying to come up with ways that we can get the students in school, get them excited about some things that are happening. And Mrs. Adams is going to talk about another piece as well. But on this piece for the Soaring Eagles, we said no more than two absences and one tardy throughout the second 9 weeks. Of course, there are some things that we are allowing, like doctor's notes and things like that. But those are the two main things for the attendance piece. No more than two absences, no more than one tardy. We're also looking at office referrals, after-school detentions, out-of-school suspensions, in-school suspensions. So if any of those are occurring as well, they would lose their reward. So we are coming to an end right now, the second 9 weeks. The students are going to find out when they return from Christmas break who has earned that reward. We will set a date when we are going to go to the theater as well. And we are also going to let them know before they go on the break that when they return, our third 9 weeks initiative will be starting. So we'll still have the same parameters for the kids, and we are going to be planning something else for them to do after the third 9 weeks. So hopefully it improves our discipline and it improves our attendance. So that's kind of where I'm at right now on the two programs that we've incorporated this year. Mrs. Adams is going to talk about a few other things that we've been having going on in the building here lately. So Mrs. Adams.
Good evening. So, is that on? Yes? Okay. The K-6 not only has the Soaring Eagles program, but we're also tracking daily attendance of the K-3 and the 4-6 buildings. So we have a bulletin board in the cafeteria that has ice cream cone bulletin board border, because on Fridays we're posting how each grade level is doing compared to the other. So every day we have whether intermediate is in the lead or elementary, such as today, the intermediate was winning by 1/10 of a point. So they get on top, I put a sticker that says one, and then who's second. And then on Fridays, as I said, each grade level has a percentage put in their section, and then we put 1, 2, and 3. Our goal is a 96% daily attendance rate. And so the winning grade level with the highest attendance will be announced Friday, and the prize will be ice cream, and this will be given when we return to school in January. So again, trying to get our attendance up. On December 5th, we had our second and third grade Christmas program, and it was entitled Christmas at the OK Corral. There was a fantastic turnout from our school community, and the students did a phenomenal job. And we have many thanks to give Mrs. Orbeck for her hard work and dedication in putting this program together. The second grade and third grade students will also be performing this for our student body on Thursday this week, so they're able to see it. And then thirdly, the sports-themed annual Right to Read Week was celebrated last week. So the students were able to read with a buddy in the book nook. Each classroom had a guest reader come to read to them. They didn't know who it was going to be or what was going to be read. And there was a daily drawing for free books. And then from those winners, there was a grand prize winner. We also had a door prize, door decorating contest, and Mrs. Snook won in the K-3 building for her door, and Mrs. Hazlip won in the 4-6 building. We had the district spelling bee in our building yesterday, and the district champion was 6th grade student Miles Gildow, and runner-up was 7th grade student Brooklyn Hall. The Spelling Bee contestants will now compete at the Madison County Spelling Bee on Tuesday, January 7th at the Tolles Career Technical Center. PTO is currently sponsoring the Secret Santa sale. It's in full swing in the intermediate library, allowing our kids to shop and buy things for family and friends and pets. And this shopping event will continue to be available for the students through Thursday this week. The 5th grade year graduation takes place tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning in the gymnasium. And if we have any parents or relatives of the graduates that want to attend, they're more than welcome. And then it has been rumored, in closing, that Santa Claus will be here at the school on Friday.
Very nice.
Thanks. Can I say something real quick? I just wanted to kind of recognize Ms. Adamczak and Mr. Miller. And the reason is, whenever I go to drop off at the K-6 building, and I see both of you guys out there, and there are others, but I'm just always so impressed that no matter if it's raining, if it's snowing, you guys are always out there at the front of the building or the side, smiling at students, welcoming students. You're the first face that they see in the mornings. And like I said, there's other people, but I think it's so cool that it starts with the leadership in that building, in the K-6 building. So I just want to say thank you for that.
All right.
And I would like to thank Mr. Miller and Mrs. Adamczak as well, again, for coming to the meeting this evening and doing the presentation. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Now move to Section I, Superintendent Committee Reports.
Mr. Mason, the only committee report that I have to report on this evening is the Safety Committee. They met on December 3rd. We continue, as we will throughout the entire year. We are discussing reunification plans, so that really is the work that we are doing. So they meet again on Thursday, January 16th.
Thank you. Move to Section J, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. brief report, just point out a couple things. Still include the link to our new monthly financial transparency. Click and it goes directly to our website that hosts our monthly financial reports and gives you updates on various items regarding the finances. One thing of note here, Frontline Education is the software we use for this, and once they realized we were using this feature, in their words, you're ahead of us. So they've asked me to present in January on a statewide webinar on how Madison Plains is using this feature to the statewide group. So I was a little surprised because I said we've only been doing it for 2 months. But I think we've got a handle on it. It's fairly simple, and I think it's great information that gets out there to the public. So I just want to point that out. That's there for the board and for the public as well. It's on my webpage on the district's website. Regarding the monthly financial reports, they're listed in the board agenda as they are always. And the PowerPoint presentation here, I'll just go through it briefly. This is through November. We have our index. And then our operating fund summary, November's ending fund balance is up $1,037,700 compared to the July 1 beginning balance. So you see our beginning balance is $7.8 million. We've received $8.5 million in revenue to date. We've had $7.4 million in expenditures to date with a month-ending balance of $8.9 million. We've received 42% of our budgeted revenue, and we have completed 42% of the months of our fiscal year. So we're right on track there as far as revenue goes. Regarding expenditures, 39% of our budgeted expenditures have been spent, and we're 42% through the year, so we're below. And so regarding expenditures, always good to be below. Total revenues through fiscal year 24, you see here we received $7.6 million last year, and for FY25, our year-over-year comparison is $8.5 million. So again, we're up. That's up in our local sources, $805,000, state sources, $62,000, and total revenue, $868,000. That's an 11% increase. Expenditures year-to-date, fiscal year-to-date in FY24, we're at $6.7 million. FY25, $7.4 million. Salaries and benefits are up $391,000. Purchase services are actually down $59,000. And then our all other, $394,000, for a total expenditure increase of $726,000. That's an 11% year-over-year change. Month to date, so only through November, revenue is was $535,000 in FY24, and to date we're at $466,000. It's down 13%, or $69,000. A lot of times those are timing issues there. So our local sources there were down $87,000. We're up on our state sources, which is our foundation payments, $18,000. Total, we're down $69,000 month to date. Expenditures, FY24, $1.4 million last year through November, were $1,410,000, and this year we're $1,402,000, so a year-over-year change of minus 1%. Salaries and benefits month-to-date are up $38,000, purchase services down $1,500, and all other revenue down $44,000. So in total, our expenditures month-to-date are down $7,643. Projected year-end fund balance compared to the prior year. We ended last year with $7.8 million. This year, we expect to end the year with $8.6 million. That's a $746,000 increase and leaves us with approximately 162 days cash on hand. So we're in a healthy financial position. Our budgeted expected year-end fund balance, again, is $8.6 million. Our actual projected, based on our trend to date, is $8.9 million. So we're trending slightly better than our forecast, our most recent November forecast. The budgeted 2025 fund balance was expected to be $8.6 million. Current fund flow trend estimates suggest a favorable trend, which is $268,000 higher. So that is the monthly financial report. Again, there are other reports you can view if you haven't already. But again, we're in a healthy financial position and we're within about 1% of what our estimates are. The only other thing on our, on here on the documents, on our link for our monthly financial transparency, we have those PowerPoint and monthly reports. I've also uploaded our November five-year forecast documents there as well, and I plan to leave those up throughout the year, even though we'll replace the monthly financial reports.
Are we able to get some of that stuff just like a link directly posted to a Facebook page? Would that, do you suppose that would be something that just a quick click would take you directly to that PowerPoint or that slide? Is that something, do you think we could maybe do on a monthly basis quarterly?
Well, what we can do is the link is available right now for this monthly financial transparency. If you'd like that monthly financial transparency link posted at times on Facebook, I'm sure we can do that.
I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think that would be
like when we post when
that would work, that would be good for us?
Like a post each month that says when the board meeting is and have a link to that, sure, that document?
Yeah, we could add that link along with the agenda link, yeah, for instance.
I just think something like that, it's very easy to see. That slide right there is very easy to read, and it's something that maybe would intrigue some people.
Just for clarity, though, the agenda link is just a PDF. It's not a working link.
Okay. But we can add the link to that PDF, the same posting that we do for the agenda, the PDF. We could add the monthly financial transparency link there as well. That'll take you directly to these updated reports.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
It's a fairly easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Happy to do it. If there are any other questions or commentary, that concludes my report.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial item J3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Sumrock?
Yes.
Mrs. Nikas?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section K, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. And to start off with the superintendent's report this evening, I would like to welcome the members of the Prodigy Building Solutions team that are here this evening. Mr. Jim Zaveski is going to lead the presentation, I believe, and I will allow him as well to introduce the other members of the team that are with him. So thank you.
If it was a Cliff, he would have been surprised.
So, but thank you. We appreciate you guys being here, and we look forward to the information you're going to share.
Thank you, Chad. I'm Jim Zabeski with Prodigy Building Solutions. With me tonight is Brian Albrecht. Brian is one of the architects that works on our team, and Cliff Grady, professional engineer, leads our operations group, and kind of three of us with a couple of our associates have been working kind of with the project, looking at your district and looking at, you know, ways we can make some improvements and put a plan together. As a company, we've worked with the district on several different projects and with the supporting the wall that was in the weight room, looking at the bleachers in the high school, which is on the agenda tonight, and seating in the auditorium. So we've been working with the district, and now we've been asked to help kind of put a plan together, kind of moving forward, and how we could help kind of fit in with the rest of your projects with building or renovating, and kind of with kind of what direction you're looking at moving forward. So with that, perfect. So the presentation that we put together, so understanding what we were given last week, there's seven different options that Chad and Todd had went over with you. Five of those seven center around renovations to this building. And really the renovations to this building end up with the classrooms, the infrastructure, and, you know, bringing this building up to more current educational purposes. And that's really something, getting to that point isn't really what we want to talk about tonight. It's really more about the infrastructure and how do you start, get the foundation of the building right, so in the future, what you're looking at, renovations to this room or whatever, that those are all kind of addressed. So looking at the project budget, we've had conversations about this. We're looking at about a $16 million opportunity to make improvements. This is in line with what the OFCC has went over, and that number kind of varies depending on finishes in the building, how in depth you're going to get, and kind of the segmenting over time. And then the segmenting over time leads to, okay, how do we address this? So you're a functioning school, how do we make these improvements while students are here and you're still educating the students? So kind of talking, when we consider that, looking at the different projects over the next couple of summers. So if there's any questions, please stop me along the way. So what we had thought is looking at the infrastructure of the building, and we've gone through the building. Brian has given us a lot of plans, Brian Garrett, not our Brian. And, you know, starting with the building envelope, making sure the building is watertight and secure from any of the elements, and then looking at securing the entrance to the building so the students are safe throughout the day. And then looking at the main infrastructure, and maybe Cliff, if you want to talk a little bit about what we're looking at in terms of, you know, some of the variables there.
What we're looking at is both the air conditioning, the heating and the chilled water pipings.
Cliff, could you use the mic, please?
Sorry. Yes. We would be looking at the heating and ventilation of the building with the heating water pipes and the chilled water pipes. We'd also be looking at the electrical system. Currently, your electrical system has had issues in the past of the lines coming into your building from the power company of actually having a short in them and losing power to the building. So we look at replacing all those, replacing the transformers, and then once we're into the building, the generator, the transfer switches, and all the parts of it. And what we're trying to do is get the building back up to being something that, if something happens right now, catastrophic, losing the boilers, you're losing the electricity, you're losing the transformer, this isn't a one day, okay, hey, we come in, we fix it, and we move forward. This is a multiple week or multiple month issue that we could be having. So that's kind of what we're looking at, is how can we get you back up to having a building that is put together so you can live in here for another 20, 30, 50 years of having the building of the infrastructure wise, all the finishes and things like that are easily changed out. It's not an easy thing to change out the bones of the building, if you will.
So any questions kind of along those lines? And part of the segmenting of the project, so to do something like this, we're estimating between $4.5 and $5.5 million. One of the big issues with that and making the building secure is the switchgear. The switchgear has about a 12-month lead time. So decisions we make today, we're still not going to be able to do anything for probably 12 months with that. So that really kind of covers on a high level the infrastructure. And then in terms of the educational space, if Brian want to talk a little bit about kind of what we're thinking about for there.
Yeah, so what we were considering, actually also with the infrastructure piece, a lot of your infrastructure is over top of the hallways. So as part of that, we would pull down ceilings in the hallways and then update the hallway space. So a lot of your public spaces as kids move through the building, all of those would be updated as part of that infrastructure piece, since we would have to get into the ceilings and get into all of that all at one time. So then moving beyond the infrastructure piece, we would start looking at a lot of your educational spaces, a lot of your classrooms, your science rooms. And we were walking around with Brian Garrett, and one of the things that we had talked about is a lot of your spaces are kind of scattered around. So your art rooms aren't necessarily right next to each other. Science rooms, some of them are next to each other, but not all of them. And trying to get groups or pods kind of together so that teachers could co-teach, they could do things together. They're a lot closer together, so similar facilities, similar kind of pieces and parts that they use on a frequent basis are all together. It provides the teachers a lot more flexibility, a lot more opportunity, especially when if a science teacher is out and has a substitute teacher, if there's other science teachers nearby, that helps with kind of facilitating what's going on in that room. Teachers can check in, that sort of thing. So we would kind of do a master plan of your educational spaces and look at what's the most cost-effective way to kind of bring those pieces together and get the most kind of bang for your buck out of those kind of facilities.
Yeah, and the thought was for this coming summer, take care of the main infrastructure. Summer of 26, we could do more planning to then, you know, engage the community, engage the teachers with what those spaces are. And then the final spaces would be the cafeteria, the spaces in the back of the building. And so looking at the whole over a 3-summer period is looking at each one of those segments. So depending on what the board and the direction is, that's kind of what we wanted to review, is looking at, does the segmentation make sense? The dollars, are they available? You know, I'd be working with Todd. As a company, we are more than happy and prepared and look forward to the opportunity. So I guess with that, do you have any questions?
Just for clarity, I know Mr. Zaveza had mentioned that if a decision was made tonight, you know, we would not be able to have the switchgear here for 12 months. We're not, at least I was not expecting that a decision would be made tonight. I think this is part of intake for information along with any community engagement sessions that we have, so that we can make a total comprehensive decision about what our plan is to be with regard to facilities moving forward. But we certainly appreciate Prodigy Solutions being here this evening to provide us with this piece of information.
Yeah, and to build on that real briefly is, you know, moving forward, we're not looking for a formal board resolution to move forward. It's more of an informal. Over our past is, if you have 5 board members and the superintendent treasurer and they all say yes, this makes sense, continue forward giving us ideas and starting working to give final pricing, we are more than happy to do that. As long as we know where the goal is, that we're trying to develop a project that's going to solve the issues of the infrastructure. So, you know, we're not looking for a formal approval, but just that the idea and the concept makes sense and is consistent with the direction of the district.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming. Yeah, we're kind of on the front end of things. This is helpful information, but we're looking forward to going to our community to see what direction we want to go with the funds that we have. So we appreciate your time.
If I could, I just want to, just a couple quick things. One, are you gentlemen willing to share this PowerPoint with us? Is that something that would be okay?
Yes. Yeah, you have, Todd has a copy.
Okay.
Yeah, he has a copy, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's currently in the agenda right now.
Okay.
Available to the public.
So thank you for that. And then, do you, just because I'm new to the board, this is my first year here, Certainly new to Prodigy. I know that Brian Garrett has obviously done a very nice job working with you guys to come up with what are the critical items that could potentially have the potential to shut down the district, right, over the next 2 to 3 years. Like, what things do we need to really, as a board, hone in on to working towards putting some fixes in place and updating? But a question I have, just because I don't understand too much about Prodigy, and maybe there's a few board members that don't, but can you guys just kind of tell us a little about who Prodigy is and like how it works? Like, the question I guess what I wonder is, when you go through this process, you're almost kind of like, it almost sounds like you're almost kind of, you have an engineer, you have an architect, you're almost kind of like the GC. Are you guys, when it comes to looking at subcontractors for all these different phases of the building, how do you do that? How do you ensure competitive bidding? If it's too early in the process to ask, let me know, but I think some people in our community might want to know that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I was under the understanding, I guess, because I know we've done work with the district already. So as a business, we have a unique business model. So having the architect engineer on staff allows us to do a lot of this work up front. And we utilize purchasing cooperatives as the procurement method. And what that means is that the projects are pre-bid through a council of government, and that makes the procurement side. As for the projects themselves, the scope of work, as we're working through the projects, we go out and we will solicit bids from typically three different contractors, be it if it's, Train and Carrier and Johnson Controls, or if it's three mechanical or three electrical contractors. That's what our role with the job is. So it's kind of acting as a general contractor, where we're getting all those together, while at the same time, Brian and Cliff are designing the system, then we bid the systems out, we package it all together to come back to the board with a solution. So, and on these projects, what we like to try to do is use as much local involvement as possible. So if it's a local electrician, local mechanical contractors, I was at a board meeting last night up at Edgerton Schools, that was a very important piece, and it is for every community, is to try to have as much local engagement from contractors. That way, hopefully those people then support the district financially in the future. So in terms of designing it, then putting the packages together for bidding, and then presenting it back to the school. Does that help explain?
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you for that. And then just one last thing. What with these type of renovations on a 9-12 building like this that's 60-70 years old, what are some other districts where you've done similar type proposals and done the work around Ohio? Is there anybody where you've done a similar type thing?
So the past few summers, Cliff and Brian have kind of led the effort. We did two projects at Columbus Schools, both a Mifflin Middle School and Mifflin High School, that we did two projects for both of those. Cliff was led the effort at Patrick Henry, which was about a $17 million renovation of a high school from the ceiling to the floor and all of that work. So as a business, we've been in business for 8 years doing these types of projects, like specifically around renovations like this. We've done two projects at Toll's recently. We renovated there. If you've been there, you've seen their cosmetology lab and their cyber lab. And
good job.
Smile.
Yeah.
Brian and his team are outstanding in terms of designing.
Yeah.
They look really good. So we've got two projects right up the road for there. So Columbus Schools, we did 32 of their buildings with their roofing. So granted, it's different, but there's different portions of the business that we're doing for different schools. And really, it's built around our business model of addressing capital improvement needs. So each district is a little bit different. So trying to provide a solution that fits the needs of the district.
Thank you very much.
More slides, just as I had.
No, that was it.
Thank you, guys.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate you being here this evening and sharing the information with us. Again, thank you. In terms of discussion items and a couple of other items, I have included in your board packet a draft of potential meeting dates for the 2025 calendar year in January of 2026. We'll be asking the board to vote on a schedule at the meeting on January 7th. So if you would, it would be helpful if calendars could be reviewed and that looked at prior to that meeting. And then finally, the last thing that I have is a copy of the tolls report. It's available for the board members through the board portal. I've also provided you with a hard copy of that here this evening. So in terms of discussion items, that is all I have for this evening. Thank you.
All right, let's move to section L, policy and governance.
Mr. President, two items there for the board. The calendar committee has been working diligently to get two calendars done. So we have a proposal for the 2025-2026 academic year and also for the 2026-2027 academic year before the board this evening.
Mr. President, make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items L2 through L3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section M, business.
A number of business items before the board this evening. There is an overnight wrestling trip to St. Clairsville later this month. There is our annual 7th grade outdoor ed field trip to Camp Katubik. There is the bleacher agreement for the bleachers in the high school gym with Prodigy. There is an agreement for the removal of an old transformer that is no longer in use at the K-6 building. There is an agreement there for an EV contract with Power Schools. And then the other thing that we need to do, and we need to do this before we vote, is the appointment of the tolls board member for the next term. And so is there anyone on the board who would be willing to fulfill that position with the tolls board? If there is not, we will have to... I think Mrs. Anikas is willing to begin and serve in the very beginning part of 2025. But if there's not, we will have to look outside of the board and find somebody else in the district.
When are those meetings, Tula?
Meetings are Thursdays, like this Thursday is the next one. Okay. From 7 to whenever.
It's typically a board member, but it doesn't have to be.
Sharon will probably kill me for this, but I'd be willing to do it.
Okay. All right, so Mr. Stonerock is agreeing to be the tolls rep from the Madison Plains Board of Education. So I will make that note.
I know Tula would speak to it, but it's a rewarding job. It's a good group of people to work with.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items M2 through M7.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section N, personnel.
Just a handful of items here this evening. We have a couple of motion corrections, one regarding a supplemental, one with regard to years of experience for a teacher. We have some supplemental recommendations. There is one resignation of a classified staff member. Would like to thank that person for their service. We also have a motion to reemploy a bus driver that has worked for us. And then finally, the approval of a substitute cook.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items N2 through N7.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section O, donations.
Mr. President, a number of donations before the board this evening. There are a number of individuals who have given $3,300 collectively to the Golden Threads initiative that we have going on here. This was a food drive that provided 172 knapsacks full of food for students over Thanksgiving break. There is a donation from Sufficient Grace with composite notebooks, coloring books, colored pencils, pens, and decks of cards. There are two $1,500 donations, one from the Athletic Boosters and one from GISA, towards the purchase of audio replacement equipment at the intermediate gym. There is a $2,500 donation, it's an estimate from Blattner Energy for used chairs, tables, desks, and whiteboards. They were items that the company was no longer using. And then there is a donation of 4 pallets of library books from Toll's Career and Technical Center.
Mr. President, I move upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section P, new business.
I have nothing, sir.
All right. And then we'll move to section Q, the second public communication session. I don't believe anyone signed up for that. So I don't believe we have any executive session. All right. So our next meeting will be the organizational meeting on January 7th, 2025. Here it's 7 p.m. in the high school library. It'll be immediately followed by our regularly scheduled meeting. And then, what date do we say, the 21st? We'll also have a special meeting January 21st at 7 p.m. at the Mount Sterling Community Center.
Yes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the board adjourn at 7:52.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're adjourned.